Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Sunday, February 26th, 2017.
Hey, we are in Acts chapter 12. As you return to your seat, you can open your Bibles. I'm going to, this wasn't in the bulletin, and I am announcing this at the last moment, but we're going to change Wednesday night this week. We're going to meet on the third floor, but we're going to have a night of prayer for Renew FM because of some of the things that are going on. And I hope you're able to be part of it. But, you know, God has entrusted. You know, we have various ministries here at the church, and one of them is radio ministry, and it's a powerful ministry God is using, but there's some battle that we need to just really seek the Lord about, and I'm going to talk about it in a moment. But, you know, I don't always get to read these, but here's just an example of some of the things that God is doing through this radio network that God has built through you, that, you know, different parts of New England that we run out of this church on the second floor. But these are just some of the responses. There's pages of this, but this is just some of the responses from our listeners. Hi, I'm John, and just wanted to thank all of you. All last year I was home due to injury to back. Two operations and a lot of downtime at home in a wheelchair drained my joy and left me sad and depressed. Through the listening of your station all day, every day, along with my Bible in hand, God gave me strength to keep joy and happiness in time of renewal. I drew closer to God because of His Word and your awesome station. Life is back to normal for me. Well, not completely normal, because I can't stop confessing what Jesus has done for me. Thanks, and God bless. Another, I drive an hour trip to and from work 5 days a week. Station has helped me keep my mind on the Lord all week long when I could easily be listening to secular music. Another, my Savior and I, my family and I every day listen every day to all the pastor's sermons as they help us stay centered on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Being disabled and home and I don't drive, the Sunday morning 11 a.m. Horizon Christian Fellowship service in Fitchburg is great. That's our Sunday service. Hey, if you're listening, thanks for being part of our church. Here's another. I just want you guys to know that I really love how you guys don't just play all the popular Christian songs out there, but you have a variety and also incorporate messages and sermons along the way. I like listening to sermons on the way to school in the morning. It's a real blessing. Here's another. I know I speak for the hundreds here on the Cape when I say thank you so very much. I love it all. The teachings are great, and so is the music. I especially appreciate the variety of both. Thanks again for breaking through the ice here among the frozen chosen. Another. God bless you and all this wonderful work of God in our North Shore area of this lost its way, Massachusetts. May our Lord Jesus Christ capture many hearts for His kingdom through Renew FM 103.7. I can't begin to enumerate how much my heart has been blessed and encouraged. Here's another. I've been listening to your station now for eight months and love it. It has really renewed and deepened my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's one. Just want you to know that I listen to you on 91.7 FM live in south of Albany, New York. We don't have a station in Albany. We have one in Pittsfield. They're listening to south of Albany. And glad to have found you on the dial. Great work. Another. Thank you so much for all you do to keep the word going out to all of New England. Great way to pierce the darkness. Here's one. Boston is a real Sodom and Gomorrah, and I am so psyched you're up and running here. May God really bless you all. Another. A friend of mine has suggested your radio station. I'm Catholic, but I thoroughly enjoy listening to your program and know that it's helping me on my journey. Take care, and may you also receive. There's just pages of this. I just recently stumbled upon this station, and oh, what a great discovery it was. Now that I listen in my car, my kids love hearing the message. In fact, my 10-year-old daughter said to me one day, Mom, I love the message I heard before I went to school saying that God is my companion. That's right, He's always with me. I praise God that this station is on the air and reaching people who are like me, or in so near need of hearing words of encouragement and hope. Another, I was changing channels in my car wanting to hear something worth listening to. I came across 103.7 and I heard the most beautiful sound, Christian music. I'm making my way back to Christ Jesus, and the station is a blessing for me and my family when we are in the car. I've been struggling, here's another, in many areas of my life this past few months, and find some strength in the words and music I hear. Another, I'm fairly isolated, I'm in a very fairly isolated woody area in Rhode Island, and listen to Renew FM during the day to connect to the gospel and be lifted in song. The station has been a godsend to me. I could just keep reading. Do you want me to? I won't, but I could just keep going. and going, a voice in the wilderness. Thank you. You've encouraged me. I was weak. And all it goes on and on and on. All that to say, we're having a prayer meeting this Wednesday night because of the battle specifically with Boston Radio 103.7, 102.1. I'll talk a little bit more about that, but you know, God's using you and using this radio, and we have to continue to pray for all that God is doing, but including the radio. So, hey, let's say a word of prayer. Acts chapter 12 is where we are, but let's say a word of prayer. We'll get started. I thank you, Father. I thank you for these testimonies. I know I could just keep reading. And these are just the ones in this file that I had, and I know there's just calls that come in over and over, and you know, every day there's something coming in, and I thank you. You know, we're here, and it is true because of what you've done. This service is even going over radio stations in Western Mass and Boston and New Hampshire and the Cape and Rhode Island and somebody listening in even New York State, Lord. And then, of course, the webcast and all that. It's amazing, Lord, and I just thank you. I pray you continue to bless. And, you know, prayer is so powerful, Lord. You used even radio to teach us how to pray, but a prayer, you know, just to understand the power of it, Lord. I pray as we study what we do, we're reminded of the power of prayer, just so simply, yet so truly. I pray it would go into our minds and hearts, and all of us would have a deeper conviction, a deeper passion, an earnestness to us in coming to your throne. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, and I do pray all your Holy Spirit would be upon all of us and myself in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 12, book of Acts, we're going verse by verse. Verse 5, these are verses we read last week, studied last week, but let's, as we get started again, verse 5, Acts 12. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. I read this devotional recently. This is from a devotional called Extreme Devotion. It's by Voice of the Martyrs. And this was for day 76, which was yesterday. On May 16th, 1966, 500 Soviet Baptists gathered in the courtyard of the Communist Central Committee there in Moscow. However, unlike most protesters, they did not shout slogans or demands. Often political protests around the world even turned violent, with slogans being yelled, signs and banners being waved, and even rocks being thrown, and even at times riots. But the Soviet Baptists instead stood together praying and singing hymns, May 16, 1966. George Vins and Gennady Khrushchev then presented a petition to the Soviet government on their behalf, which requested the following: official recognition of their churches, a plea to stop government interferences, a request to release imprisoned believers, and a petition for freedom for Soviet citizens to teach and to be taught religious faith. But the next morning, this is May 17th, 1966, soldiers and KGB agents surrounded the peaceful gathering. Around 1 p.m., a number of buses closed in and other soldiers attacked, beating them and forcing them into the buses. But no one fought back. Instead, the demonstrators linked arms and started singing again over the screams of the attacking soldiers. All of this was done in the public, with many bystanders gathering around to watch the steadfast faith of the Christians. They were then taken to prison. But even in prison, they continued to pray and sing. The communists had refused the pleas of these peaceful protesters, but they had not broken their spirits. What, a little over 50 years ago, Baptists, behind the Iron Curtain, we used to call it, right? Soviet, USSR. They're petitioning civilly the government, wanting religious freedom. And singing, and especially praying. You know, I start with that because of where we are here in Acts chapter 12. This is around, you know, 43, 44 AD, this particular time with Peter. We can estimate it from the famine in the previous chapter, and then King Agrippa, Herod there. So it's somewhere in the early 40s. And we were studying it last week, and here's this believer, you know, the church dealing with persecution and oppression. Here's a man in prison, of course, over it. And then I just shared with you a story from just over 50 years ago in Moscow, believers being taken off to prison because, you know, being oppressed from the government. And there's no doubt, we noted it last week. I could just share stories from all sorts of time periods. As we even noted last week, we could talk about a lot of stories about the here and now, right? We even talked about the ICC report that says, you know, right now, Christianity in 2017 is the Christian religion more than any religion. Christians are being oppressed in the world by governments and so forth. So, we have this Acts chapter 12. We have Moscow, 1966. Interesting, the similarity between what happened there in Moscow and what is here. Is noted in the devotional. No violence. Civilly petitioning the government. But again, what was especially noted was the worship and the prayer, even when it got very hostile against them. And as we were studying last week, we noted with Peter here in verses 5 and 6, when he was in prison, Luke notes how constant prayer was kept up for Peter. And we noted in the last week, earnest prayer is this, the sense of the prayer, very earnest. Well, we watch the prayer here, we consider Moscow, and I'd like to just, in a very simple way with you today, I mean, some messages, sometimes you go through texts that are complicated, and some are maybe a little harder to understand. Some is just, this is as simple as it gets. And the danger of being simple is maybe, there's a lot of power, but the danger is you're like, I know this. But it's one thing to appreciate this in your mind. It's a whole other thing to appreciate. I just want to talk to you about prayer, earnest prayer this morning. What can happen when we pray earnestly using our text? And I pray that we better appreciate prayer as a result. May the Lord just give us grace to do that. Again, a wave of persecution has hit the church. We noted it last week. Waves of persecution come. This time, again, the hands of the government. The persecutor is Herod Agrippa I. We noted it last week. It's especially focused at this time on the leadership of the church. In fact, James, one of the three, has been beheaded. One of the three, key three disciples. And then Peter has been put in prison. And we noted how it is politically motivated. You can see in verse 3, it pleased the Jews. Later, as we read on in our text, the expectation of the Jews is the way it's described. You have a situation, the government is coming against this group of believers, the church, but also the popular culture, popular opinion is against the church too at this time. Well, we left off, Peter's in prison. He's being guarded by a total of 16 soldiers, four groups of four soldiers rotating on six-hour shifts. He's chained constantly to soldiers. There's soldiers constantly guarding the door. And you might remember, and we'll see it as we go along, especially next week, these men, their job that they've been given, if they fail at their job is simple. You guard him. You cannot let him escape. If he escapes, they die. They'll be put to death. Pretty scary situation. You could say from a human standpoint, and just considering, it looks kind of dark, doesn't it? It looks pretty dismal. It does. But again, the constant, the earnest prayer, that's what we want to consider. The word earnest, we noted it last week, the Greek word there is the same that Jesus, to describe his prayer when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed and sweat the drops of blood, just the earnestness, the passion in the prayer. It's the same type of prayer that's happening with the church at this time. Tough time, church is praying, and then we get to see what happens as they pray. We noted the first thing last week, Peter is asleep. And we just took that picture. I mean, it is amazing. You're not, at times of great distress, usually sleeping. He's going to be, it's the night before he's brought before, you know, Herod. It's after the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And he's likely to be put to death. I mean, James was put to death. So he's probably facing his execution the next morning. And yet he's sleeping. We just noted, it is true. When you earnestly pray and you God's people pray, you pray, there is a supernatural peace that we experience. It seems that he's just sleeping. And the cries of God's people are going up. Verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. And the light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Now they were past the first and second guard post. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them out of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Well, we see this prayer, and the fruit of that prayer is obviously now more than just peace, supernatural peace. They are praying to an omnipotent God. They're praying to God, the sovereign God, who can do anything. He can make things that are not as they are. He can make them are. You know, he can take things, he can do the impossible. And so they're crying out to God, and while they're crying out to God, things start happening in heaven. That's what we see, meaning as a result, an angel appears standing right next to Peter in the prison. Later, when he recounts and reconsiders what has happened, notice in verse 11, we'll just read it, but we'll get there in a moment. But he said, "Now I know for certain," as he's thinking about it, "now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel." And so the Lord sent an angel into his prison cell. Now, just being simple again, maybe this will sound a little silly to you, but just to remind us, when God's people pray, the things that it can happen, one of the things is just being simple here. You and I pray, man, things happen in heaven. When we pray, angels can be commissioned by God. Angels can be sent. And that is an amazing thing. You take this church, I mean, you got the government, is against the church. The government means all the authority of the government, all the influence of the government. It means the military, there are soldiers involved. They're against the church, a group of believers. You have popular opinion, popular culture against the church. You look at those forces, you take that on one side, government, popular culture, opinion, military against the church. You take the church, you're like, they don't stand a chance here. These believers don't stand a chance. I mean, how can you... There's too much against you. How can you withstand those forces? That's significant. The government and culture. Who's going to win this situation? Right? Well, it appears that way, lopsided from the human standpoint. And then you throw in that God's people here are praying. And the praying has this, well, it brings power. It shifts the whole situation. They could have the government and popular opinion against them, but when you got a group of people praying, you've got a group of people now with the power of God and angels. Of course, the church all along is with God and angels, has that God on their side. But when God's people pray, it's as if, I guess we're exploiting, we're appropriating what we are and what we have. You know, you might be here this morning and for you, whatever's going on in your life, it may not be the concern to you, the government, whatever, the culture, popular opinion may not be a burden on your heart right now. You may come through the door of this church, and because of what is coming down in your life, you feel you got forces against you, you got things that have come against you, you got very big things, and that's just the reality, because life like that can be like that at times, right? And I will just pose the question, do you appreciate, have you learned the power of what is on your side? And we might have it in our mind. We may have it theologically. We may know the Bible story. But the truth is have you really learned it? Do you appreciate that? An angel? That's amazing. It is true in the scriptures. There are times we watch God's people pray and we see what happens with angels. Daniel, right? He's praying. God then sends a messenger, an angel, to deliver a message. You have the story of Hezekiah. It's repeated multiple times for us. The Assyrians, huge military, comes up against Jerusalem, besieges the city, surrounds this city, and it's an amazing historical event. this king, the odds are not good. There's the prophet Isaiah, seeks out the prophet. A letter is from the scoffing Assyrian commander is laid before the Lord. Isaiah, Hezekiah, God's people pray. And you, many of you know this story well. What happens? God, things happened in heaven. And God sends an angel. One angel. A military of 185,000 soldiers are killed by one angel. All that to say, you know, here we are. It's February 2017. We know, some of us know the Bible so well. Sometimes I feel like this. It's a dilemma we have in the Western culture. Remember that scene from Lord of the Rings? The one king, I can't even think of the town. Some of you know the Lord of the Rings so well, you'll name the king and the town, right? But he's under that spell. You remember when he's under the spell? He's like this. He can hardly breathe. He can't even think. No matter what you said to him, he'd be like, you know what I mean? Until the spell's cast off. And sometimes I think that's our dilemma in our culture. Things are said to us. We know things. We've heard them. We've grown up in the church. But it is an amazing thing that you and I can be in a situation and pray. In heaven, because of what we're praying and the will of God, God then turns to an angel and says, I hear them praying at Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg. I see the need. I see the situation. Go, you're the answer. I want you to go work. And an angel is involved. That's amazing. They got the government, the military, all the authority and influence of the government. They have popular culture that's now turned against them. And they pray and God sends an angel. They're in a very difficult situation. Peter especially, obviously. I know this is simple. But yeah, what about Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday at my home? Earnest prayer. Does God ever hear it? You know, that's the question. Crazy. Amazing. Angels can be commissioned. But then we see this dark prison cell, because there's an angel, a heavenly messenger. The way it's also described, a light shines in the prison. A light shines in the prison. It was dark. It's dismal. They're praying in another location. Dark, dismal, there he is, and a light shines in the prison, just like that, right in the middle of the darkness. That's just another point we can make, right, as we just take it simply for what God is doing here. I think of Isaiah chapter 60. There's examples of this in the Bible, but just taking Isaiah chapter 60, previous to that, in the end of chapter 59, verses 9 and 10, Isaiah the prophet is describing darkness. People are blind, groping, darkness, great difficulty. And then he begins to speak about the Redeemer, the Messiah. And then Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, this is the way it starts. You have darkness and then arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness, God, the light of Christ has shined. You know, you might be listening today and for whatever reason, you know, there's darkness. We live in an evil world, you know, and there is just darkness. And it comes, and darkness can be in a place of darkness, and it's just dismal. And do we appreciate the throne of God? Do I appreciate earnest prayer, light shining in darkness? Jim Cimbala has a book, The Church God Blesses. You know, you teach on prayer. We come to it a lot in the scriptures. I so often quote Jim Cimbala because of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Such an example of a church that prays and what God has done. But early on in the ministry, in The Church God Blesses, the book, he tells a story. Early on, he's taken over this church. He has very little ministry experience. He has no seminary degree. This church, you know, small congregation called the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in a very difficult neighborhood in Brooklyn. Little experience, little training. He starts off at this church. Well, early on, this is what happened. Out of nowhere, one day, he gets a call from a pastor in South Dakota who told him and his wife, well, told Jim Cimbala that he and his wife felt called to come to New York City to minister. And without any invitation from Jim Cimbala, a short time later, this pastor and his wife from South Dakota show up in New York City, and they have no place to stay. And so they connect with Jim, and Jim allows them to stay at their church, Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Well, this family is now staying at the church, and because they're staying at the church, it doesn't take long at all. They start to get to know people at the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. They start to intermingle with them and develop relationships, and it isn't long at all that Jim Cimbala starts getting calls. calls from people within the church. And they're saying, hey, there's just odd things about this couple. There's some concern. Initially, Jim says he couldn't believe it was true. But one particular night, the Holy Spirit just begins to minister to his heart. Get a hold of him one night. And he just senses the need to pray. And he begins to really pray and earnestly pray. And he's up late praying. He then decides from that experience, he wants to talk with this pastor and his wife that are staying at his church. And to them, to his shock, this is some of the conversation he has in the book. This is what they say to Jim Cimbala. Imagine this. This is what they say to him. You're through here, Jim. It's all over for you and your wife. You'll never preach here again. God has sent us to take over and get things right. That's a little frightening. Next couple hours, they began to verbally accuse him and attack him in a very intense way. I've had meetings like that, especially early on in our church. Well, Jim then also discovered that they had actually even swayed the hearts of some of the people in the congregation. So Jim Cimbala says, because he was praying the night before, he was able to find the strength of God to just deal with it, with this demonic battle, and eventually get these people out of his church, away from his church. But then he describes, after this intense battle, he was so mentally, emotionally, physically just exhausted. He says he could hardly get off the couch for a couple of days. Well, in that, he began to pray and draw near to the Lord and began to talk to him. And as he was praying, God began to minister to him, and thoughts came to his mind, thoughts from the Lord that began to just come, you know, thoughts about maybe the enemy has discerned that God has a big plan for this church and has sent his instruments to try to stop it. So Jim Cimbala writes this: my spiritual trauma and fatigue slowly changes into fresh hope that God, in fact, had something beautiful in store for our ministry in the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. What Satan meant for evil, God in the end worked out for our good. You know, talk about light in the middle of a challenging situation and encouragement and the spiritual battle. I think of radio. We'll get there in a moment. And, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm so thankful for the promises of God that God raises up a standard. But again, you might be here. And there's just dark. There's some heavy deal. Do you appreciate who's on your side? Do you, and what all that means? God can even send an angel into a situation. He can even bring light. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, Psalm 27. That's what Jim Cimbala learned and was reminded of that day. Now, Peter is not initially aware that there's an angel there or even the light because he's sleeping. So we're told then that the angel actually strikes him on the side, says, Peter, arise, get up quickly. And in a remarkable way, almost like a sci-fi movie, man, he stands up and he's been chained. We're told he has chains on him and he's bound. And when he stands up, the chains just fall off, could clank onto the ground. I mean, that's quite a situation, you know. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, hey, you're in prison. That's pretty. You've got people guarding, you know. You got the government popping up in. But then you're even in that place and you're chained. I mean, that's hard to get out of. Talk about being bound in a way that you just can't do much about your situation. You personally. You're kind of stuck. Bound, prison, guards, government, culture. I mean, what could have you done about this situation? Nothing, man. As a human, nothing. Well, there's a group of people praying. I'm sure he's been praying. And when people earnestly pray, it's amazing what happens. Angels can appear, light can come. And then we just note simply this morning, how chains can be broken. It's true, chains can be broken when you pray, man. When you pray earnestly. This is the story of Sundar Singh. Sundar Singh was a Tibetan Christian. He was thrown into a well for his preaching of the gospel, and a cover was put over it and securely locked. He was to be left in the well until he died, and as he sat there, he could see people had been previously thrown in there, and there were their bones and their rotting corpses. He was to stay there till he died. But on the third night of his imprisonment, he heard someone unlocking the cover of the well and removing it. A voice then told him to take hold of the rope that was being lowered, and he was very grateful that the rope had a loop in it, because when he was thrown into the well, he had injured his arm in the fall into the well, and so he had a loop he could put his foot in. He was then raised up, and the cover was replaced and locked, but when he looked to thank his rescuer, he could find no one. Well, anyway, the morning comes, he goes right back where he was arrested. He started preaching again. The news of the preaching came to the official who had previously arrested him, and so he was brought before that official again. But when the official said somebody must have gotten the key and released him, they then searched for the key, and guess where they found the key? On the official's belt, on his own belt. So miraculous, chained or thrown in the bottom of a well, cover on it, whatever. Hey, there are physical chains. There are emotional chains, right? There are spiritual bondages. That is just true. Do we realize? Do we take it to heart? God in heaven, earnest prayer. Man, chains can even just fall to the ground. What God can do, what He can do. The angel says to Peter, get dressed, put on your sandals, follow me, you know, get your robe on, follow me. The Greek tense is to continue to follow me. We read in verse 9, Peter thinks he's just seeing a vision. And the angel then in verse 10 leads him by the various guards and the guard post. And that's amazing to consider too. It'd be fun to have lunch with Peter after this. And okay, just tell me how this happened again. Pretty trippy, man. Like right out of a movie. I mean, again, these guards, as we note and we'll see next week, they will be put to death because they fail at their mission. They will be put to death. So they are so intense about their work. When you are given this as a Roman guard, if you fail, you die. So imagine, forget even the chains and even having any sort of, you know, gate or bars or whatever. There are men that have been assigned to you that if you leave their presence, you will die. That's very difficult to get away, wouldn't you think? I mean, if I was commissioned to guard you, and if I failed, the government put me to death, you're probably going to have to put me to death, man, because I ain't going to let you get by. Tough situation, man. All the list of excuses that can be written here and impossibilities. But God's people are praying, man. They're praying. They're crying out to God. And the enemy here is immobilized. He walks by the enemy. Whatever that means, do they just not see him? Are they in a trance? We see that at other times. It's like they're in a trance. At other times, they go to sleep. God puts them to sleep. We're not told exactly, but he just goes on by. They're immobilized. You know, I think of the radio and the situation we find ourselves in now. You know, God's ultimately sovereign. We live with him. But, you know, we built these stations in Boston, 103.7 on the John Hancock, 102.1 in Quincy, 88.5 in the spring last year that feeds the two stations up in Gloucester. Anyhow, you know, some of you know, many of you know that the Boston thing is a vision that God gave me 24 years ago. And to get there and finally get that station on the roof of the John Hancock on the air, that was miraculous. I was called just recently by another Christian radio group who operates some AM stations in Boston, and they've purchased an FM license, and through a thing that the government did, they purchased it, and with the intent of moving it into Boston and rebroadcasting their AM. And the dilemma has been, it's so crowded in Boston. I was contacted because they're having a hard time. And they just can't seem to find a location that they can keep and get it on the air. And the person on the phone who was calling me, an engineer, wanted help to maybe find a location. But he said to me, you know, he knows we're on the John Hancock. He says, we can't go on there because we just can't get up on the roof. We can't legally do it. There's not enough room to be up on that roof and have a station for us. Meaning, it's miraculous that we got on with the stations we did. There's no room to do what we did. God did it. Well, we get on, and it's just a cool thing, and you hear some of the stories, but it is a funny thing. We have a certain area of coverage. But then the government can do whatever it wants, and the government decided it was going to come up with some new laws, change the rules, new laws. AM stations are struggling. We're going to come up with a new law where AM stations can purchase these small FM translators and then move them up to 250 miles from where they were. And anyway, this new law, suddenly, I didn't even think knew it could happen. It was completely caught me off guard. But a station goes on, 102.1 in Framingham, We're in Quincy. That's really close. A station, legal now, goes on in 103.7 Haverhill. We're in Boston. Dude, what is going on? How could that even be allowed? It is. And the reason why we're having a prayer meeting on Wednesday night is we're petitioning the government. We're petitioning the FCC. A document's being sent, a report, a persuasion. Hey, that should not be allowed. Because it's hindering our station, and it's hindering the gospel. And you gave us this license. And so we're petitioning. So FCC inspectors are going to read this petition. Attorneys are going to look over it. There's going to be obviously a response from other people. But I do believe when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. We're told in Matthew, Jesus even said, right? He said, you know, we read these things all the time. Some of you, we haven't memorized. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Of course, faith that trusting in what God can do. You know, God can immobilize the enemy. God can send an angel. God can bring light into darkness. God can do anything. Maybe you'll come. I pray you will on Wednesday night. We'll just cry out to God. We've been here before. We've watched God do miracles. And my journal is filling up my journals with miracles. Peter, then, you know, the angel leads him. He comes to the outer gate. It's like a movie, man. The gate just opens. Nobody touches it, it opens and he walks out. I tell you, there's some prisoners right now surely would love to see this happen, right? You know what I mean? Imagine. So he gets out on the street and a block or so away, and then suddenly the angel disappears. And then as we read in verse 11, he's left standing there. It'd be like you were in Shirley and you were sleeping, and all of a sudden you have this experience like this, and then you're standing out by Route 2 all of a sudden. You're like, wow, that really did happen. Of course, you got that fluorescent orange on. You better do something about that real quick, right? I don't know what Peter did about that. But that's what happened. He's like, I just got let out of prison. Against all those odds. The government. Herod, who's already put one of his friends to death. Against popular culture, politics, motivate, you know, hey, let's just oppress the church. Guards that have to guard and that they'll put to death if they fail. Chains. I mean, all the obstacles. He's standing suddenly and he's free. And the context, as we know it, is God's people are gathered and they're praying. You know, it's amazing too. It's like God brings it's almost like a taxi service. They're praying. And as we read here, Peter shows up where they're praying. It isn't just that he was spared life. He's also knocking on the door. And they haven't even left their house. They're just praying. But we're reminded as this gate opens, it's just an image. I know this is simple, but it is true. When we pray earnestly, doors can be supernaturally opened. Doors can be. I think the dilemma with prayer is sometimes the challenge. I do find it difficult. Earnest prayer, I've noted, it's tough. I think it's the hardest thing to do. I even tell the Lord at times, I'm like, God, you know, I wish you weren't invisible. Why'd you do that? You know, I understand if I could see you right now, I would just be consumed because I'm a sinner. So that's probably good that you are invisible to me. But I'm just a nerd, Lord, man. I might need medicine, man. I get so distracted so easy. It's so hard, you know. So I go in my office, I'm going to pray, and the text just comes up. It distracts me. The map on the wall, I'm suddenly wonder how many people live in whatever city, in whatever country. Why is that in my mind? You know what I'm saying? And I'm going through, I'm daydreaming, and I'm catching Tom Brady's pass or whatever. Weird, but I need to pray. I've got just the time that I do. And the needs are great. I find it so hard. And I tell the Lord, I just say, gosh, Lord, why did it have to be this hard? And I don't know how to do this. I wish I could do it better. I wish I could just come in here and get on my knees and go cry out to heaven. And I did my hour, you know, but to get there sometimes takes me 3 hours, Lord. Yet I believe it's needed and powerful. I read this the other day from Andrew Bernard. And, you know, a great saint, late 1800s. This is taken from when he spoke at Northfield with D.L. Moody. He said this, and this encouraged me. Persevering prayerfulness, day by day wrestling and pleading, it's harder for the flesh than preaching. And I'm like, dude, I agree. It is harder than preaching. And preaching isn't easy for me. But praying is so hard. But it's so powerful. And when we pray, doors can open. But sometimes the dilemma is my answer may come soon, but sometimes it doesn't come for a long, long time. You take those Christian Soviet believers in Moscow, it's 1966. And they're carted off in buses and they're taken to prison. Well, the two main men I mentioned there, George Vins and Gennady Khrushchev, they spent 3 years in the prison camp. Although they don't give up. Their faith is not diminished. They continue to be men that fear God and seek God. They remain strong. So what they do is they're let out and they have to keep evading the KGB. But they start prayer house, prayer churches and so forth. They print and distribute Bibles and Christian literature throughout the USSR. Eventually, Vins in 1979 is captured again by the KGB, but when he's recaptured, fortunately, they deport him. They don't put him to death. But Gennady Khrushchev, I mean, one of these great Soviet Christians, he continues to just evade capture and minister and pray and minister and pray. 1966, they're saying, please give us religious freedom. Please open the door. The government doesn't do it. They pray. They can continue. And as you guys know, a lot of you were watching the news, weren't you? 1989, 1990, those events. Wasn't it amazing? We grew up on this side of this Iron Curtain, you know, and suddenly those walls come down and a door is opened of religious freedom to the Soviet people, more so, much more than there was. It took a long time. That's over 20 years since that event. That is the challenge, I think, too. But we pray earnestly, God's people. Doors can open. He goes and makes his way, you know, as he realizes, I shouldn't be just standing here. He goes to Mary's house. Mary, the mother of John. We refer to him as Mark. And verse 13, you know, he knocks on the door. And as he knocks on the door, this servant girl named Rhoda, and evidently studying some commentators, there are a lot of, that was a common name, Rhoda, for servants, servant girls. She comes And I presume, you know, before she unlocks the door, she says, who is it? Something like that. Peter says to her, it is me, Peter. Verse 14, she recognizes Peter's voice, gets so excited. She doesn't let him in, but turns around, runs back to everybody praying in the prayer meeting. She says, Peter's here, Peter's here. And it is an amazing thing just to encourage us, isn't it? Verse 15. In a funny way, the response of these people who are praying for Peter, God, please, God, oh, Jesus, please deliver Peter, please deliver Peter. Peter's here, Peter's here. And their response is, you're out of your mind. It is a remarkable thing. It is, isn't it? Just to take encouragement. Just to take encouragement. I didn't a whole lot of faith in their prayers, but there's evidently enough. Rhoda, you're crazy. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He says, if God wishes to surprise his people, he has only to answer their prayers. Such is their unbelief. It's true sometimes. You're like, I can't believe it. Well, when you asked, crazy, you wouldn't believe it. $500 check came this week. You won't believe it. Well, weren't we there? That's what we're praying that God would provide, right? Rhoda keep insisting, it's Peter. I'm telling you, it's Peter. And then they conclude, it must be his angel. That is really amazing. Evidently, popular Jewish thought at the time was that each person had a guardian angel, and the guardian angel could even resemble some of the form of the human. So they will believe that it's a guardian angel, though. Must be his guardian angel. Crazy. No, it's actually Peter, what you were praying for. You know, they earnestly pray, and God delivers to them. God delivers the people, the person they're praying for is delivered to them. You and I, it is true. Earnest prayer. You keep praying for that child. You keep praying for that child. You keep praying for that child. Earnest prayer. You keep praying for your spouse. You keep praying for that spouse. Keep praying for that. Earnest prayer. You keep praying for that family. Keep praying for that family. That sibling. Keep praying for them. You keep praying. Earnest prayer. You keep praying for that person that just, you just love them, but they're in such darkness. They're in such bondage. They're so hard-hearted to God. And you just pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And time goes by and time goes by and you pray and you pray and pray and time goes by. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. God can deliver that person to you. He can do it. He can do it. So we're reminded here. And Luke 18, Jesus, you know, Luke summarizes it this way, that Jesus gave a parable of a persistent widow. And he says, he gave the parable in Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought always pray and not lose heart. Psalm 34, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Psalm 34, verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Hey, we can pray and pray, and God can deliver those people to us. Meaning he can save them. He can take them out of what we pray. In addition, and just a simple point, the answer to their prayer request comes right through the door. When we pray, we also, the amazing thing about our prayer is we can receive what we ask for. The very thing we're asking for, the very thing we're petitioning our Heavenly Father, we can receive that very thing. We should be people that earnestly pray a lot. John, writing in his first letter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. Whatever we ask, as we pray with his heart and will, whatever. No limitation to that. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. John chapter 16, verse 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. John chapter 16, verse 26. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I come forth. Pray in his name. Pray according to his will. Ask. Amazing. Amazing what happens when God's people pray earnestly. In their excitement, obviously you can only imagine the excitement of the situation as it's described to us. Verse 17, he has to motion to them to get them to be quiet. And then he begins to speak to them. And I just say this as a simple point. A simple point. We pray earnestly. We then get the incredible privilege of standing in amazement at what God has done. The Christian life should never be boring. We remind ourselves it should be an amazing thing where we get to see the power of God. And with radio, we together, how many miracles have we seen? Just miracles. Or whatever. Miracles. God is a God of miracles. And when we pray earnestly, our Christian life becomes amazing because we get to go, look, they came to Christ. They came to church. God did a work there. God delivered. Amazing. Because we prayed earnestly. And we get to be amazed at what God does. Are you amazed at what God does? Are you amazed? We should be. Well, that's just crazy wild, man. That's just crazy wild what you do, God. Prayer is a big part of it. Prayer is a big part of it. So he tells them to go and tell these things to James. This is not the James earlier in the chapter, one of the three that was put to death. This is the half-brother of Jesus. Later, he does not believe when Jesus is alive, but later after the resurrection, Jesus appears to him, his half-brother. He becomes a believer, follower of Jesus. He even becomes then a significant leader in the church of Jerusalem. And that's what we're beginning to see here in the book of Acts. He later writes the book of James. And then we read and we come, these are the last words we study this morning. It says, Peter departed and went to another place. Now we are leaving. You know, the way Luke records the history here, this is the last, just about the last we're going to see of Peter. We'll see him in Acts chapter 15. But Luke's pen now focuses on Paul. And because of that, there's not much more we know for sure about Peter's life. We see him at the Jerusalem Council in chapter 15. But then we have to kind of conjecture, looking at different scriptures, you know, putting it together. It appears later he meets with Paul in Antioch, Galatians chapter 2. There's a presumed visit to the churches in Asia Minor, 1 Peter chapter 1. Maybe some evidence in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that he later is in Corinth. And then based on his closing remarks in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, where he speaks of greetings related to Babylon, which we believe is Rome. There's church tradition that says they ended up in Rome and was there executed. And the tradition goes like this. And that is, Peter was encouraged by the saints to flee Rome because Nero was seeking to crucify him. As Peter was then leaving Rome, according to the tradition, he met Jesus on the road on his way out. And Peter said to Jesus, "Where are you going?" And Jesus said, "I'm going to Rome to be crucified again." And Peter then took that the Lord wanted him to turn around and go back into the city and be identified with Jesus in death. So he went back. He was crucified, and according to tradition, upside down. Well, let's stand together. What can happen? What can happen when God's people earnestly pray? Man, these people, they have the government against them, culture. And they cry out to heaven, and look what God does. God, it's true, God can, I mean, He can commission angels when you and I pray. We can pray and pray, and suddenly light is shining in a place that was dark. We can pray and change people and those chains can be loosed. Doors can open to us, be open to us simply because we prayed. There was no way out before, no way in before. There was only hindrance and obstacle. And we cried out to heaven, and God just works in His way, and a door is open. We pray for people. God can, He can deliver people, man. He can deliver people to us, meaning to our hearts. We're praying for their salvation. We're praying that they would get back on the right. We pray, and God hears. It's amazing as people pray. You and I pray, we get to see God work. Simple study. I pray we grow in that understanding in our lives. In this church, by the mercy of God, we grow as a people of prayer. Earnest prayer. Wednesday night you can come. We're going to pray. We have another battle, and let's watch what God will do, right? We'll tell the story later. Whatever He wants to do, He's sovereign. But we do pray according to His will often, and we see Him and hear Him. Well, let's stand for a moment. I just want to stand quietly. Maybe there's something you need to tell the Lord right now. Maybe you can relate to the struggle of it being hard to pray. Maybe you just want to ask for grace. Help with that. Whatever it is, let's just stand quietly before the Lord. If you want to lift a prayer request out loud, you can too. But let's just stand for a moment before the Lord before we go out the door. You know, as we come to the end of our time, I'm going to do a little, just briefly what we did last week. A little different this week, but I'd just like to open the stage for a moment, do an altar call. You know, I think right now it's in my mind. I remember counseling a young couple many years ago, and they were just, gosh, the dilemma was great. And this poor young gal was suffering and suffering, and I was counseling them, and we were meeting for a series of weeks, and it was way beyond me. I could not help this poor person who was suffering. And we were going through the different things, and I said, you know, listen, we'll meet two more times. We'll meet two more times, because I just felt powerless. I said, next time, we'll just get the elders, we'll anoint you with oil, we'll pray for you, and then we can meet one other time. But I just didn't know what to do. I've been in plenty of those places. I remember this. That week they come, and we meet, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. It's just way bigger than me. And this poor gal's even so afflicted mentally. I think she needs psychological help. It's a significant thing, Lord. Anyway, this elder on our staff at the time, I go get him, and we anoint her with oil. We just pray for her, Lord, please. I just prayed like that, you know, Lord, please. Anyway, I remember the next week when we met, and I just last time, they're this young couple, and I'm like, how are things going? And they're like, it's going great. And then as we started to talk, they told me how when they left that meeting, God healed her. And I confess, I was like, really? I mean, that came out of my mouth. I was like, really? I had no idea. I didn't expect it. She had real, she wasn't sleeping, schizophrenia, whatever that word is. I can't say it this morning, but you know, those dudes, but dudettes. She was just struggling so much. She needed help, and God just healed her right there, man. And I just share that with you because, you know, we looked in the prison cell. Here's a man in chains, and people are praying, and those chains fall off. Maybe there's some of us in this room today. Maybe there's one or two. You're here by God's sovereign will, and you got chains, man. You just, whatever they are, it's a wound in your soul. It's a scar in your mind. Whatever it is, it's a thing that you just can't get rid of. What I want to do is just open it so it's personal for you. We're going to open the stage here. The worship team is going to play for a moment. I'm going to invite you down. You can come. And then as a congregation, we'll just pray together and just ask God to touch you, shall we? And I'm going to just, we're going to do that, and then we'll do one more thing. But maybe because of what God's doing, God's like, this is my sovereign will. I had you go through that because I want to touch your life. I want to break that, man. He's God, still God. You hear me? So let's worship for a moment, and we're going to leave the lights on. I know that there's bright lights, but maybe you just have a physical, emotional, just a broken whatever. Hey, welcome to planet Earth, man. Welcome to planet Earth. But we want to pray for you. And I know publicly, not necessarily always easy, but we no particulars. We just want to pray for you. All right, give you opportunity that you know you came and you people prayed and you just stood before the Lord and asked for His mercy, okay? So we're going to worship. You're welcome if you want. You can bring a friend, a family member, or come alone, and we're going to pray for you, okay? Let's worship. I invite you if you feel led.
Love for us, vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His pleasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned His face away, as wounds mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. It is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
We're going to just go another chorus, okay? Just, you know, if you're standing there and you're reluctant, but you're like, oh God, you know, give me faith. Maybe your challenge is, I got this thing and I can never get rid of it. Give me faith. Hey, bring it, you know, getting out and walking down here is faith. God can do anything. And we're going to just go along a little longer. You feel led. You're welcome. We're going to just ask for God's power and mercy. He's a God that can drop the chains, man. He can. A God that can bring light into darkness. We'll go through one more chorus. Chosen one, bring many sons. Anybody else? Hey, you know, we just read a story. It's really encouraging because they're asking God and the answer comes and they don't even believe it. Isn't it amazing? That's encouraging to me, man. That God is so merciful and gracious. You showed faith. Everybody that's up here at this stage, you've showed a level of faith. Maybe some of us standing here, you know, and just all the battle that goes on. But let's as a congregation pray for these. They're saying they just want God to just let the chains, the healing come in their souls, their hearts, the fears taken away, whatever it is, the struggles, there's just all of life and all that it means. Shall we pray together? Let's agree. The Bible says we're two or three. Agree. And isn't God in the business of delivering people? Isn't He in the business of setting people free? Jesus promised that He's come to set us free. So let's just pray in agreement, shall we? All together, I'll lead a prayer, but let's all agree. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that God would touch their lives, shall we? Father, we stand here together in this place. And thank You for Your mercy. Thank You that You know we are just little people, Lord. And people have gathered here this morning around this stage. And what they're doing, Lord, You know what they're doing. They're admitting before You. They just want Your touch, Heavenly Father. They're admitting even before people they want Your grace in an area of their life. They want You to work there and set them free, Lord, and deliver and to touch and to break the chains and just take away the chains. So we just stand here together in agreement, Lord. We ask You in the name of Jesus Christ, because of who You are and all You do, we ask You in the name of Jesus Christ, would You touch these areas of their lives, Lord? Would you heal that area? Would You deliver that area? Would You break that stronghold or hurt or pain? Would You come with Your Spirit and have such mercy upon them? You're the Father that gives good things. You give wonderful gifts. Thank You for hearing our prayers. Thank You for the wondrous things You do. Thank You for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers and touching the lives of these men and women. We praise You, O God. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? If you go out that door and the devil starts to beat on you, he's really good on that, at that, and say, well, no. Wait a minute. You're thinking you're free. You're thinking, no. Don't even listen to him. You just say, Lord, rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. God's touched my life and God's healed my life. And He's a merciful God. Hey, we're going to conclude with a song and go out the door. There's a prayer room over here. If you don't know Jesus and you would like to give your heart to Him, or you're at a place where you're ready to get right with God, I'm going to respect that we've gone a little over time, and I'd love to talk with you after the service and tell you how Jesus wants to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. But and get you a Bible if you don't have one. But shall we go and worship the Lord? And again, there's a prayer room. God bless you guys.
Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts can be contacted online at horizonfitchburg.org or by calling 978-665-9111. Our service times are 8:45 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sundays and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays.